All right. Well, we are on our run towards Christmas, and what we have is two more messages on finishing well. I've come alive. It's great. Come with me to 2 Kings, if you will. I want to talk about the title of my message this morning, Back from the Dead. Back from the dead. And in 2 Kings 4, verse 10, let me read a couple of verses for you. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there. In some versions, it actually says couch. And so we're improvising this morning with a couch. And then it goes on and it says, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him and he said, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? Who'd like God to say that to them? What can I do for you? Who think they would have liked? That's better than the lottery, right? Not that any of us played lotto. But, you know, it's like, if God's going to do something for you, that's really good. Who knows that God can do anything for you? And we actually need to stir our faith, activate our faith. And in finishing well, there is an absolute ability for us, there is something in us that must determine that no matter what else, I am going to make room for God in my life. Now, we've been talking about this subject all year, kind of finishing on it today, although Andrea will speak next week on finishing well as well. But may I say, my first point this morning, will you pay the price? Turn to your neighbour and say, will you pay the price? You see, the woman made room for God in her home. Some of us, we've read this passage a few times before by now. It cost her and her husband. It was Jesus himself who said, he who loses his life for my sake will find it. It is the opposite spirit to the world. What can I gain from this world? What can I gain from other people through the relationships I have with them? It's not the way we operate as followers of Christ. We are the opposite spirit. We say, how can I help that person, whether they help me back or not? Because I love the Lord and he loves me more than anything else. And so I'll put my trust in him regardless of anything else. I want relationships that are built on trust because I love God, and because I love God, I will love others. Sarah, my daughter, rang me the other day, and I was having a conversation with my daughter who lives in Sydney. She was studying for her final journalism exam for this year. And much of what she was studying actually related to Sierra Leone. And she said to me something like, what a corrupt bunch of people they were back in those days, and what corrupt men will do to other men in order to better themselves. Who's ever seen the movie Blood Diamond? Most of us would have seen it. So you understand, like, they were cutting off limbs for self-gain so that they could make sure that, you know, and this race and that tribe, and there was a whole lot of infighting. All crazy. But really for one thing, to better themselves, for the love of money. And what I think we may forget to recognise, and I know that's kind of out there, but it wasn't that long ago. is that we recognize is that although we probably don't go around chopping people's limbs off, well, at least I hope not, we all have the capacity through being human to live entirely for our own pleasure and comfort. Jesus says, "He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." It's a big statement, isn't it? And Jesus reiterates this point over and over again throughout the Gospels. And I ended up saying to my daughter Sarah, by the way, I said, you know, while we live in this earth and we live in a broken world, who recognises that the world's broken? And while we live in a world where we are able to do what we like, there will always be sinful people, and man will do other things to people, and it affects a whole lot of other people. It's just what sin does. But when we find Jesus and we live for him, there is a transformation of our entire spirit. It goes into our core, and it's like we're no longer that kind of thinking. We're not thinking just of ourselves anymore. We're thinking about other people around us and the love that we can show to others. And so there is a cost to following God. It costs us. It costs you coming in here this morning through your tithes and offerings. It costs us through serving the body of Christ. It costs us because the end game is significant. We talked about this a little bit last week or the week before about how we, Apostle Paul, and how he wanted to be the best he could and have, oh, well done, good and faithful servant. Who'd like to have that at the end of the day? And so all these things are important to our lives. It costs us, and so we behave in such a way to bring honour to his name. We behave in such a way to bring honour to his name. And so this woman in this story, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, was prepared to pay the price. And there's some good news associating with paying the price. When you pay the price through making room for Jesus in your life, it will have extraordinary results. There is a God that we're going to show you this morning in an illustration I will use in telling this story. And so I'm just outlaying a little bit for you. And how this woman gave up and made room for the man of God in her home. How important is it to make room for God in our life? How important is it to make a little room so that we can spend time with him? My wife has a prayer chair I mentioned earlier this year. And if she's on that prayer chair, I'm scared. I don't want to disturb her because that's her space with God. It's her important time. And so there are moments in our life where we need to actually constant throughout our life revere God. It's called fearing God in the Bible. It's actually putting him before everything else. And it translates into the way that we live our life. You see, when you pay the price, that's where this story goes. But who knows, when you pay the price for sacrificing some of your life for the life of God, that it does not come without opposition. And so our intake is so important. Our intake. What we read, what we watch, what we listen to, even what we eat, is vital if we are to finish well in life. And so if we go back to the slide of make room, we see that there are some elements in the room. There is a bed, there is a table, there is a chair, and there is a lamp. When we're in bed, It's actually a good thing to be able to dream about the future that God has for us. And all the good things that he is doing in your life. But this doesn't come just because you fall asleep at night. It comes because you've made room for him during that day and the day before and the day after that and the day after that. Because you've made room for God, you will dream pleasant things about God. And then there's this table. It's a place where you study the Word of God. And there is a chair where you can communicate with God. It's like when you go to a coffee shop, you just make a little room for him. You discuss with him things in your life. And there's a lamp which illuminates the Word in your life. And so you're having these conversations with God and you have this illumination on how to live your life. And so there is an ongoing move towards Christ in your life. And the reason this is so important is because you are going to get into trouble in this life. Is there anyone in this room that's never going to be in trouble? We're all going to have trouble in our life. And there are going to be problems that you don't know how to solve on your own. Am I right? And there are going to be people that you do not know how to handle. And some of those may even be in church right now. That was a joke. You know, it's one of those things, right? But I want to say this morning that when we make room consistently in these areas of our life, when we make room for God, might be in our bedroom, it might be some time that we spend with him, that there are far-reaching capacity of God is incredible. That he has got you. And your God is able to overcome any situation in your life. And so I would like some help this morning in telling the rest of this story. And so may I ask for the Shunammite woman, the mother, to come and help me this morning. Where is my young assistant? Here she is, Bree. Let's give Bree a hand. Welcome, Bree. And for now, you're the Shunammite woman. And we're going to do this as a bit ad lib today, so bear with us in a little while. And also, I need an older husband for Bree. And I was kind of thinking Graham Vert might fit the part real well. Would you like to come, Graham? Let's give Graham a hand. Oh, thanks, Graham. You're with your wife? Lydia, where are you? It's all good. It's okay. Okay, this is an acting, everyone. And I think we also need a servant because I'm going to be Elisha because I'm the only narrator and no one else really knows what's going on in my head right now. So I'm going to be Elisha, but I need a servant. What do you think, Gehazi? Should we have the young man at the front here? Yeah, let's have Blammer. Come on, Blammer. Come and join us. Oh, he's got the Elisha's staff already. He's on it. Well done. So, I think that'll do for now. But I may need a donkey. So I need a big strong man in a minute. Is there any willing people? Any willing strong men for Malachi? There, you ready? Yeah. So come and sit down here at the front, Malachi, because I'll call you in a moment. You're no ordinary donkey, all right? So come and sit next to Andrea, and then it's easy for you. Okay? Fantastic. All right, so let's get started, shall we? So I'm Elisha, and I have my staff in my hand, which is actually a stick from my garden. And I've got to be careful, so I might just pop it down for a moment and use it when I need it so I don't get carried away with it. But I want to illustrate this story this morning the best way I can is by telling this story. And you know, Elisha actually came and laid on the bed that this lovely young woman had prepared for her. This woman was a woman of means. This woman didn't need any help from anybody else. You bet. This is prophecy. And this woman actually had made room and talked with her husband, and they had agreed together that they would build a room in the roof for this couple, for Elisha. And so Elisha went and laid. One day, he had a long day prophesying over people and fixing up people's problems, because after all, in the Old Testament, he was kind of like God. And so God laid down on the couch. And as God's lying down on the couch, God speaks to him. There's a revelation coming from heaven, and he sits up. And he knows immediately that he needs to do something for the Shunammite woman. And he calls to Gehazi. Gehazi, come here. We need to do something for this woman. She has shown great concern for us. Yes. Can you find out what she needs? Can you go and speak to her and find out what she needs? And the woman actually says, you know, I don't actually need anything. I don't need help from my family even. I've been a good steward with what God has given me, and I am actually quite fine. But then Gehazi says, and because you don't know what I'm going to say, I'm going to help you. Gehazi says, but I know something that you don't know, Elisha.
I think she needed a child.
Yeah, I think she needs a child. And actually, Gehazi says she actually needs
a child.
A son. Because in the Old Testament and in these Bible times, sons were like a blessing. And right now, although the Shunammite woman was honoring God and she loved everything about God, but it was like she was it was a curse, even though it wasn't. But that's how she was looked upon, even though she was financially well off. And so I summoned Gehazi and I said, Gehazi, tell that woman that in 12 months' time, she's going to have a child and it's going to be a baby boy. Thank you. Go and do your job. But actually, you actually like, you kind of like, you know, I don't know. Don't deceive me. Because have you seen my husband? I mean, he's really, really old. I mean, just step back a bit. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be able to do this. And to be quite honest, it does look like that. But I want, you know, but Elisha, he says to the woman, in 12 months' time, you are going to have a baby boy. And the mum still says, I don't know if this is possible. I mean, I don't think this is going to happen. But here's the thing. In 12 months' time, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And so Gehazi, every time he came home, back past the woman's house, he would go and stay in the room that the Shunammite woman had prepared. And that Shunammite woman would make food for him. And he would feed him. And he would have quite a substantial amount. And he would always enjoy coming back to the woman's house because he always got well fed. Who knows that when you look after God, God's going to look after you? Who knows that when you're actually getting fed from God, that you're actually making room for him in your house, that there's going to be miraculous results? And so when we take a little bit of time like this Shunammite woman did to make a little room, to actually come to the conclusion that this man is special. Do you know that God is special in your life? Do you know that he is the most important thing that you have got going for you? Because this Shunammite woman had everything she could possibly want, and yet she still lacked something, and that was that she could not do what was possible with the old man of her husband, because it simply wasn't going to happen without some divine help. I knew Graham would be a good sport. And so, and so in 12 months' time, go and be with your husband. In 12 months' time, they have the most beautiful baby boy. And the child grows up. And it's now about 7 years old. And so I need from the audience, I need someone who's relatively short to help Bree this morning. I need a young, where's a Filipino? I need a Filipino that's going to help me out. Where's a young man? Where's Ed? Ed, come here. Come up here. He's a great servant. All right, come on, Ed. Let's give Ed a hand. So Ed, you're now the son, okay? So you're just going to help. You're the Shunammite woman's son. You've grown taller than she is because you're just one of those strong men. But you go out into the you're acting now. You go out into the fields and you're reaping. You're reaping the harvest. You're reaping the harvest. You're reaping and reaping the harvest with your father. That's right. You're reaping. It's hard work. They've only got little what are those thick sickles? Yes, and they're doing their work, and the son complains, my head. And like every good husband does, he goes, go home to your mother. Go home to your mother. And so he goes and sits on his mother's lap. He sits on his mother's lap. You got to sit on his lap, on her lap. Sit. Oh, that's it. He sits on his mother's lap. And she bathes him. He's got hot in the sun. He's got, actually, he's not doing well at all. And his mother's really concerned that things aren't going to turn out so well. And he keeps complaining, his head. You know it's important what we cover ourselves with? You know, it's so important what we cover our heads with, because if we cover our heads with all kinds of things that are part of this world and forget about the covering that God gives us through the Word of God on our life, if we forget about the power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon our life, if we forget about spending time with God and making room for him in our life, then there is a great possibility that where our mind is going to get confused, and before we know it, we are going to be taken away from those things that bring health and goodness and spiritual life and effectiveness, and we are going to be dry and barren. And the unfortunate thing about this story is that what God had given is now taken away, and at 12 o'clock noon, the boy dies in his mother's lap. And then the mother does the only thing that she knows what to do. She goes and places him on the prophet's bed. She lies him down on the prophet's bed. And her son is dead. This is quite an emotional moment for any parent. This is like, you told me, you're helping me now. You told me that I would have a son. And you know, before we get to that part, it's really interesting to me how at this point, and even for not so many things that are as bad as this, just for little troubles in our life, that we forget about God and try and solve the problem on our own. But I'm telling you today that we have a God that is limitless. We have a God that even though things may seem dead in your life right now, they can come alive. Even though there are challenges in your life, even though it may seem impossible to have a child, it may seem like your financial situation could not get better, even though your marriage right now may seem like it's a little astray or a little bit, oh, I don't know how to solve this. You know, there is a God, and if you keep going back to him, there is going to be a way forward. There is going to be a way through. There is going to be a way that you can solve every situation, because as we already know, when you've made room for God, God's going to make room for you. And so the woman calls the servant. You're doubling up as my servant and hers. And then Gehazi runs to Elisha, the man of God. You're running to me. And you say,
The woman, her child is dead, and she needs your help.
The woman's child is dead? Yeah. Really?
She needs your presence now.
Okay. This is what I'd like you to do. I'd like you, Gehazi,
yeah,
I'd like you to take my staff.
Okay.
I'd like you to take this staff.
Yeah.
And I'd like you to run. And you know it's quite a distance.
Yeah.
So I want you to run and I don't want you to stop.
Yeah.
I want you to keep going.
Yeah.
And then when you get there,
yeah,
don't forget,
yeah,
to wave the staff over the boy,
okay,
and see if there's any change.
Yeah.
And then come back to me.
Nothing happening.
Nothing's happening.
Nothing happening.
Nothing at all.
Nah, nothing.
You see, the problem is that Gehazi had been around the man of God all his life. Gehazi had been to church all his life. Gehazi had seen what the prophet of God could do. But the problem was that Gehazi didn't actually have a relationship with God. Gehazi did not have the presence of God on his life. And even though he waved the prophet's staff, there was nothing there, because he had not made room for God in his life. How important is it to make room for God in our lives when there's deep trouble coming our way before we die? There's deep trouble coming your way at some point in your future. You don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. You don't know what's going to happen the next day or the next day. And I don't want to put fear in anybody's heart here this morning. That's not my intention. But we know that there is a God that is a God of the impossible. We know that there is a God that can change circumstances, even the worst circumstances in our life. And so we are here this morning to act this play out to you, so that you will get the courage and the faith into your heart to rise up on the inside and become a people of power this morning, that you will not forget your God. And so Gehazi and Elisha confer. And man, this is not good, is it?
Yeah, I think she needs you.
She needs me.
Yeah, you're the best person.
Okay. I really appreciate that. Thanks for putting me right in there. Yeah. Okay. And so I call the woman actually, we've missed a whole bit of the story, haven't we? You know, we need to do this right. So we're ad-libbing a little bit here. So let's fix this up. And so this is where the donkey comes in. Okay, let's bring the donkey in. Let's give donkey a hand. And so the woman knows that the only thing that she can do, where has she placed her son? On the prophet's bed. Who knows that you want to put the problems and difficult situations in the hand of God? Who knows that when there's a big situation, when there's something out of your control, you want to put it in the hand of God? You want to actually lay that request down at the hand of God. You want to actually concern yourself with the things of God over your own thoughts, and there could be many, right, that are saying it's too late, it's over. And the woman actually says to her servant, quick, let's get a donkey. I need a donkey because I need to go to the man of God right away, because if anyone can help, it's the man of God. If anyone's going to be able to save this situation, it's the man of God. So man up, donkey. You're going to get on your hands and knees. You're a young man. Come on. And you're going to come over to me. Because hang on, wait for the Shunammite woman. Okay, Shunammite woman, jump on. Here we go. Come over here. Here we go. And hang on. Yeah. This is no ordinary donkey. This is like a Bugatti Veyron. This is like the fastest donkey on the planet. And because they know how urgent it is. And okay, you can dismount. Thank you, donkey. Let's give donkey a hand. Well done. The husband and the donkey may sit down now. Thank you. Let's give those guys a hand. And you're just there, just about there. And the prophet says to his servant, "Is that the Shunammite woman I see running towards me?
Yes.
Is that the Shunammite woman?
Yes, she is.
Oh, can you go and find out what she wants, please? Quick, run." Oh, he's saying, "Do you want to see the boss?" And at that moment, the woman grabs the prophets and won't let go. And you say, "I will not leave you."
I will not leave you.
And you say it again.
I will not leave you.
You know, I think that there's something that God has not shown me.
Yeah, I think you need to go there and see.
Yeah.
Take some time. Yeah. Be better.
Would be.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
So, can you help me here? We need to saddle some more donkeys.
Yeah.
Okay, where's our donkey gone? We need him back again. Come back, donkey. Okay. And the woman won't let go. And I says, "What is causing you may stand up? What is causing all this distress? What's happened?"
"My son is dead."
"Your son is dead? No.
I need you to bring him back to life."
"How is this possible?" Oh, and Elisha rises up on the inside. It's like, this is not going to happen on my watch. You see, when you've made room for God like this Shunammite woman has, there is going to be a solution, and there is going to be a way through. There is going to be a result that you don't know how, but there is a God that is bigger than your thoughts and ever will be bigger than you.
Yes.
And so what happens is that we get on the donkey together, except only the Shunammite woman gets on. because this is, like I said, this is like a fast Bugatti Veyron. Okay, and we go as fast as we can. Come on, Gehazi, you're supposed to be in front helping. You're protecting me. And so we go. And here we are at the side of this 7-8-year-old son. He's very good at being dead. There's no movement whatsoever. He's not breathing at all. He's not, is he?
Nah.
There's no life. Gehazi's pointed this out to the servant. And so, at this moment, Gehazi opens the door for the man of God and say, please, guys, just wait outside. I know this is distressful for you. I know this must be hard. You're actually wailing at this point, you know. And donkey, you just hang around. That's all good. And so the prophet actually makes some room for me. I need all this space now. Yeah. Get out of my way, servant. And so I've got all this space. He's opened the door to his room. And he says, oh, Lord God, I call on your name. I know that you gave me this child. I know that you did a miracle. You know, when things go really wrong in your life, that the best thing that you and I can do is actually call on the name of our God. And so, this was a process, and the man walked up and down in the room, the man of God, and he's praying and he's saying, Lord, this is not going to happen. I'm believing that there is going to be a full resurrection this morning, that this son is going to come alive. And he hears God say to him, this is dead for nothing, the last point. And he says to him, wake up and nothing actually happens. Do you know that sometimes there is much more of a persistence on our part, that God wants us to be persevering in our faith, that God doesn't want us to quit easily. Now, we live in a fast food generation. We live in give it to me now. But I can tell you right here, right now, that God doesn't operate on fast food principles. He operates on a determination from our heart. He operates from us actually building our faith in Him. He operates from us making room for Him every moment of our life, like we do, because when we've built up reserves, because in our house we've been dreaming about God and are dreaming about the future that He has for us. When we're praying to Him, when we're actually communicating with Him, and we are in our chair and we're having that conversation with God, and He illuminates things in our life, and we get a gift of faith that comes upon us for certain situations, and nothing is going to stop the power of God in that situation. Amen. And God hears from the Holy Spirit, and He lies down, as it were, and puts His hands on the dead son's hands, and He actually breathes into the son, and the coldness leaves. And now the boy is warm, but he still hasn't opened his eyes. But who knows? That's something's happening. You don't just give up. When you're halfway through something and you've given God some of it, don't give up then. Keep going, because God hasn't finished yet. And He wants to build your faith as much as He wants to do something in the situation that you are facing. And the man of God walks up and down and prays again. And he's praying with all his heart. And the Holy Spirit says to him again, lie down on him again. Breathe into him the life of God. And as he did, he breathed the life of God. And the son coughed 7 times. That's your cue. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know what? 7. And his eyes came open and he sat up on the bed. You can sit up on the bed. Thank you. And he sat up on the bed. You know what the number 7 means in the Bible? It means completeness. It means wholeness. It means complete restoration. It means complete resurrection life. It means complete whatever the situation is in your life. God hasn't finished. He will complete it. He's a God that is going to complete what he has started. He is going to overcome in that situation. The boy's alive. He's feeling good. He stands to his feet. He gives a bit of a Rambo sort of pose. He's like, yeah, oh, I'm alive. Fantastic. And so the prophet calls for the Shunammite woman. Here is your son. And the woman says, actually, you bow down to me. You bow down to the man of God. And you're so grateful. But you don't stay there long because we don't do that these days. But the point is that you're so thrilled. You have a little dance. You're both so happy. Can I say to you today, church, it's not over till it's over. God wants to bring things back from the dead in your life. And maybe there are situations this morning where you think that is almost impossible. Or maybe you think, I don't know how. Well, I'm here this morning and we've talked about this and we've showed this play because I want us to get the full impact of the Word of God in our heart this morning. Will you believe with me that God can change your situation? Will you believe with me this morning that no matter the problem, that God can break through in it? That there is a resurrection life that is beyond anything we can do. They put Jesus in the tomb and they thought he was good for nothing anymore. But he was good for everything because on the third day, he rose again. And because he rose again, and there are stories like this and throughout the Bible from beginning to end, which illustrate that there is a God of resurrection life, that there is a God that even though we live in a world that is dying and corrupt and all kinds of things that are going on that are out of our control, that as we put our trust in him, that as we make room for God, that there is going to be a solution for that problem because we don't live according to this world, but according to his world. Father God, come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Thanks, guys. Awesome. Let's give these guys a hand. And so in order to finish well, can we all stand to our feet, please? In order to finish well, will you make room for God in your life? Will you allow God to take front and center? Regardless of the challenges, regardless of those things that may be in your world that come against you, those things that you wish were different in your life, those things you wish you could change, will you give those over to God today? And I want to open this altar up in a moment for people. People that have thought it's too hard or too this or it's too challenging. Will you make room for God today in every possible way? Before we do that, right here, right now, I'd like us to pray a prayer to accept Jesus into our heart. And I'd like those people that are here this morning that have never made a decision for Jesus, those people who know that they are away from God, you haven't made room for Him, will you come back to Him today and allow Him space in your life? Because He can create opportunities. He just simply wants to come alongside you again, be your help in time of need, and help you through the Word of God to live your very best life. So can we pray this prayer together as we close our service this morning in just a few moments? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You that You love me. Come into my heart right now. I receive You. I repent of my past. I give You my life. Take leadership right now. In Jesus' name, the name above all names. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, those of you who have prayed that prayer and would like to give your life to Christ for the first time, please raise your hand. Let me see it right now. Let me see your hand right now. Thank You, Jesus.